Hello, this is Ricky Turovsky. If you've been following my East Africa blogs, you might remember that after our time at Ngorongoro Crater, we planned to head to a tented camp. We knew very little about this camp except that we had confidence in Roar Africa, our travel advisor. We were simply delighted when we arrived. When we left early morning and traveled on small aircraft from Manyara, picking up and dropping off passengers as we went. This is the way in Tanzania, and I suspect all over Africa. We finally arrived at our destination airstrip in Grumeti Reserve, which is owned by Singita, and the camp is called Singita Sabora. I had, of course, checked out the website, but wasn't prepared for the actuality. We were met by our driver guide, Kalsen, and taken to the outdoor restaurant area to have cold drinks, a light lunch of red pepper soup and salad, and be welcomed. The raised platform where we sat had a splendid view outward to vast plains and visions of impalas in the distance. As soon as we met him, Kalsen impressed us with his love of the area, the animals, and life in general. He was charming, well-spoken, and very knowledgeable. We both knew we would be happy with his company and looked forward to our game drives. Our butler, server, new friend, Manambo, took us to our tent. What a tent! Everything was fashioned in the style of the early 20s, when the first travelers arrived from overseas in England for safari. There were cars outside that were from that period, steamer trunks inside, copies of oil lamps, the netted double bed, the wash basins, outdoor shower and tub, all were in the old style. But of course, every amenity and comfort was offered. Books were everywhere, with wonderful pictures and photographs on the walls. We were immersed in another era. Well, almost. There were dark covers for the windows at night so as not to attract animals or tiny little flying critters. We had bottles of water for our drinking and to clean our teeth. No water was to be used from the taps for drinking. This was the same in the other hotels where we stayed. And eco-friendly, everything was in glass, no plastic. We met Kalsen for our first game drive at 4 o'clock. The open-air jeep in khaki green was very comfortable and, as we learned, not threatening to the animals. I had to climb up into it using a small step. We were given excellent binoculars, water, and blankets for the chill that would come later in the evening. We saw the graceful gazelles, giraffes, and amazingly, Kalsen spotted a leopard in an acacia tree. We hung out there, mesmerized, watching her. Kalsen was very excited, as were we. As the sun was setting, he found a spot with an incredible view of the massive, never-ending spaces, opened the back of the jeep and brought out some libation, champagne for me and red wine for Charles, and little appetizers to nibble on. We just stood there, awed by the beauty of it all and the quiet for our sundowner, as they call it in Africa, a happy hour watching the sunset. After a while, we headed back to base camp to freshen up in our tent and eventually head for dinner. Already there was a chill in the air. The amazing thing about the weather was that in the mornings it would be around 46 degrees Fahrenheit or 9 centigrade, and then rise in the afternoon to 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 30 centigrade. The dress code was definitely layered, with a sweatshirt or fuzzy and cape of the softest wool that the resort supplied. Our own gloves, sunglasses, and then everything, well, almost everything came off as it warmed up. That first evening we ate our dinner on the outside raised platform terrace with lanterns lit with fire and tables set with fine china and crystal. It didn't matter if you dressed up, as it was so dark. It was January, in case I didn't tell you. Manambo quickly learned our drinking habits, champagne and white wine for me and red for Charles, and cognac afterwards and scotch. I had a perfectly cooked fillet of beef, and Charles had fish. We were escorted back to our tent, although we didn't have far to go. This is a must in the African bush or plains, that an armed escort takes you to or from your room in the dark, of morning or evening. There were no fences at this camp, so the animals could wander freely nearby, although they seemed to have a sense of how far to approach. During the night, I kept hearing this wild call echoing around us. I can't quite imitate it. It was sort of like, ah, ah. I learned the next day it was the hyenas getting in and out of the mesh of the netted bed during the night while I tried to check was not easy, especially in the dark, although flashlights were supplied. We were expected to meet at 6 a.m., still in the dark, and to call for our escort. We had some drinks, Charles's cappuccino and me some freshly squeezed orange juice, and a nibble of a muffin. Then we headed out in the chill morning air in the open jeep. Carlson was headed back to find the leopard in the tree, and he did in a nearby one. This gorgeous creature was busy watching for prey, and we were busy watching her and, of course, taking pictures. My little Canon did a great job with its zoom lens, and Carlson taught me how to take a picture with my iPhone using the binoculars. This was not easy, as a very still hand was required to hold both, but the results were amazing, as you can see. You can see them if you're reading my blog, and I wish you would, because I have gorgeous pictures from Africa, and it's called suddenly70.ca. So you can read it or listen to this blog class. Aside from the leopard, we spotted many hyenas waiting for the kill, giraffes looking beautiful, little mongoose flitting about, more gazelles, tapir, eland, all part of the antelope family. We learned there are many members that belong to this family of elegant and strong animals. We stopped for a long while and enjoyed watching, and Carlson brought out some juice and coffee and small snacks to keep us until we returned to the base camp for lunch. There was a daily routine that I loved, which was rising early for our first game drive, back at the camp for a leisurely lunch sitting under a tree, and watching the animals roam very close to us, and then a swim in the unheated pool to escape the afternoon heat. I tried the spa for an appallingly awful manicure. I could have done a better one with my eyes closed, but the manager apologized, and then I settled for a nap until our next game drive. It is amazing how good a guide can be and how superb Carlson was. He would see animals in the distance with his binoculars. Everything looked beige to us, and then we would spot the animals he saw and approach. Of course, that is what he does, and he has a practice eye, but he was very good at it and knowledgeable and also good at teaching us to spot. When we saw the hyenas grabbing and carrying prey with their strong jaws, he told us that the females also have pseudopenises. Check out the link above. Well, I guess you can't do that if you're listening, but at any rate, there is a link that describes this, so just put in pseudopenises for hyenas in Google and you'll get the details if you're interested in this unusual physical trait. The baby hyenas have very sweet faces, which of course hides a nasty nature. Also, if you are interested in how giraffes mate, check out this link. The male, just look up giraffes and mating. The male will taste the female's urine to see if she's ready. We also learned the new words used for a collective of animals, like a leap of leopards. I have a picture of these words, and some of which are very hilarious. We also learned that the tsetse fly is in this part of Africa and not to wear blue. In fact, there are structures in blue hung in the trees to attract this dangerous pest. We were comfortable in our beige safari clothing on many accounts, not just for the fly, but also to blend in with the scenery so that the animals would not see us as different. Some of those words were a pride of lions, well, we know that, a leap of leopards, a coalition of cheetah, and that's for the males, a parade of elephants, a herd of buffalo or a gang of buffalo or an obstinacy of buffalo, a dazzle of zebra, a journey of giraffe, that's when moving, or a tower of giraffe when they're not moving, a business of mongoose, a thunder of hippos, a crush of rhinos, a clan of hyenas, and a covey of ostriches. I love these collectives. While we drove, Charles would ask questions or just talk about things with Carlson. I usually sat quietly and just absorbed the nature around us. We got used to seeing the gazelles and all the different varieties of antelopes, like the eland and the tapir. We got used to seeing the beauty of the vast plains, as our property was right next to the Serengeti, or really a part of it. There were other guests with other guides who shared information about which animals were where. One morning, Carlson had heard of a male lion sitting right on the border of our property, and we saw him with his cubs. The female was out hunting, so the male was the babysitter. We amused ourselves watching them. We saw different prides each day, mostly without the male. They would walk very close to our jeep, and at one point I stared deep in the eyes of one of the females and felt a spiritual rush, much like what I feel when I look deep in the eyes of our dog Oscar, a really close connection. This is what I love about seeing the animals in the wild. At one lazy lunch, we spotted about a dozen ostrich prancing around. The thing about these giant flightless birds is that their legs seem to be hinged backwards. When they walk away from you, they look as if they're walking toward you. You have to see it. It is so beguiling. We fell into a lovely routine of sunrise to sunset, looking at gorgeous animals in the wild, stopping for libation, and one morning, when Carlson wanted us to see the limehouse, suggested we have our breakfast on the plane. He brought egg and bacon sandwiches so we could stay out a long time. Often, near the end of the day, we would see the Cape buffalo, also known as Black Death, and apparently very dangerous. Each night, our dinner situation would change. The first night on the terrace, as I described earlier, the second in a more beautiful part of the terrace closer to the plains. The third night, we were set up by the swimming pool with lanterns. And the last night, right outside our tent, which was magical, as they hung lanterns in the trees and set a table with china and crystal finery. Monambo served us each course separately and had amazing wines to accompany. Charles brilliantly brought out his iPhone and set, well, actually he uses an Android, and set Google Music up, and we danced in the moonlight. It was incredibly romantic. But I'm ahead of myself. One early morning, Charles woke with a miserable cold that he believed he got from the Maasai chief who had a cough when we visited there. You can see that or look back at a podcast about East Africa Part 2. I went by myself on that early morning drive. The air was very cold, but I had my layers with the cape, etc. Everyone was very solicitous to Charles and his cold. What could they bring him? Did he need a doctor? Of course, the next day I got the cold, but it was old news then. We just kept eating and drinking and enjoying the scenery and animals through misty eyes. We saw many wildebeest and got very close to an eland that we presumed was dead because it didn't run away, and these are very skittish animals. Then it saw us and ran to its pack. Charles suggested that it might be deaf, which made sense. It was quite exciting to see this large antelope see us. I'm pausing because I'm running through all the pictures that I've posted. When you're in the wild, you start to grasp the scheme of things. There are animals that prey on others and kill the weak ones. Then there are the hyenas, the robbers waiting to get in on the leftovers. You see the frail ones that can't survive and you feel for them, but it is the order of their life. Just about every day we saw our favorite giraffes eating the sharp needle-like leaves and twigs of the acacia trees. Elephants in great groups wandering near us were a common sight. At a certain point in time, we became used to being near these wild animals. Now I miss them. Did I mention that at our last dinner there was a guard standing nearby just in case any animals were drawn to the lights? The guards there carried machetes. When our last morning was upon us, we traveled with Carlson to the airstrip, and on the way to the early dawn, many animals came out to say goodbye, or so I thought. The impalas, buffalo, baboons, and just as I figured they'd forgotten us, the giraffes. We arrived at a part of the road that was filled with elephants washing themselves in dirt, which is how they get rid of pests from their bodies. Then all of a sudden, a very large male elephant approached our jeep head-on, and my heart stood still. I saw the newspaper headlines flash, Canadian couple killed by elephant in Tanzania. This big guy was heading straight for us, but Carlson stopped the engine, put up his hand, and said softly, "Easy, fellow. Take it easy." Sigh. The elephant turned away and Carlson said he was a young male showing off. After we left, this young, not so small, probably about 10,000 pound male, followed us for a bit and bellowed loudly. More showing off. I managed only to get a photo of the other elephants. We at last arrived at the splendid Singida airstrip and waited for the small plane to transport us back to Kilimanjaro Airport, where we were again put through multiple layers of security, and then we flew to Wilson Airport in Nairobi, where Ziyati, our guide, was waiting for us. My cold was bothersome, but we still managed to stop at a large marketplace and buy some souvenirs. Charles had a massage at the hotel, an offering from Roar Africa. I passed because I just felt like having a nap. We had dinner outside with soothing hot Thai soup and then left at midnight on British Air for London. For some reason, Mr. Bippin, our driver, was late picking us up, but he soon got us to the Haymarket Hotel where our room awaited us. Charles had a bit of traveler's tummy, which I had had earlier. There's nothing like sharing, of course. We took Malarone to prevent malaria, and I think this was one of the side effects. Definitely better than malaria, though. I went out to get some cash at the machine. We had a nice dinner and then off to Orlando the next morning with our heads and our hearts filled with memories of our African journey. Till next time, Asante, Africa, or thank you.